Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here with my main men, Randy and Justin. How the hell are you guys doing today?
Fabulous.
Lovely. And how are you doing?
I am doing... I'm a mixed bag. I'm amped for our first topic and a little ranty about our second topic. So yeah, why don't we just jump into it? Captain America, Civil War, greatest movie ever in the history of the universe. That's what the internet tells me. What do you think, Randy?
I actually enjoyed it. For going into a movie that I was completely unenthusiastic about, I'm pleasantly surprised. I've started to feel that superhero fatigue that we keep talking about. I actually fell victim to it, or at least I thought I was going that direction. But this movie may have just made a believer out of me.
Ooh. Nice. Doesn't help that you spend like 2 hours a week talking about fucking superhero movies.
This is true. Like, oh my god, nobody shuts up about this fucking movie.
What were your first impressions, Justin? Were you as enthusiastic? Were you as negative going into it as Randy?
No way, man. I've been looking forward to this movie since that they announced it. I was pumped. I was ready to go, and I enjoyed almost every second of it.
Ooh, almost. I guess we'll start. What was your cons to it? What didn't you enjoy as much?
I think I only had one, and that was the reveal about Tony Stark's parents. I think I'm over the my parents died and now I'm mad. Other than that, I enjoyed every second of it. I just don't.
Why
wasn't
he wearing his Winter Soldier mask?
I don't know the answer to that, but like, I just think that I am over the whole my parents died and now I'm angry.
Yeah, it was fun to see 1991 Tony Stark.
Yeah, he was nuts.
Robert Downey Jr.
I know. He looked like
back to school.
Yeah, totally. He looked just like that. That was nuts. That's that Benjamin Button technology.
Yeah, Marvel's got that down. They did a great job with Michael Douglas and Ant-Man, too. So.
Oh, yeah, seriously.
They know what they're doing at Marvel. They can make people young again. Yeah. They found a youth.
But they found the youth serum.
Other than that, I enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah. Well, what did Randy? Did you have anything that kind of stuck in your craw, or was it just a ear to ear smile that for 2.5 hours?
I was grinning like a moron the entire time. It's stupid how much fun that I had during this movie. I found Spider-Man to be absolutely charming, and the stuff that I didn't think that I would care so much about wasn't in it a whole lot. You know, so
like what?
Pepper Potts.
Well, yeah. Or at all, in her case.
Which was the perfect amount of Pepper Potts in this film.
Yeah. They mentioned her name a couple times, and that was it.
Yeah. Always in a negative tone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How's Pepper? Oh, yeah. We're not together. Yeah.
Now, the stuff that I wasn't really too into is, like, some of the certain character dynamics. You know, I'm not a real big Hawkeye fan, and... you know, he was in it pretty much just the right amount, and I didn't want to hear too much whining and bitching. And I felt that, I mean, the whole thing with the airport battle, that was really it. That was the quote-unquote Civil War. Obviously, it went a little bit deeper and longer than that in Iron Man's case specifically, but I was pretty happy that it wasn't drawn out beyond that, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. Yeah, absolutely. I think my detractors were I thought it was kind of a little bit long. Like there was kind of an overly slow burn at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You're always laughing at me.
I always think that you think movies
are too long.
Unless they're 80 minutes, you're not interested.
No,
unless it's Lincoln. You like that movie? You saw it 3 times.
Sure. Yeah, I'm watching it right now. And then I didn't really like the Iron Man turn at the end. Like, I felt like that they had kind of, like, concluded the fisticuffs between the two of them. And Iron Man had acknowledged that, you know, Winter Soldier, A, didn't do what he's being accused of, and B, wasn't really responsible for the things he did in his past. But now we're going to have to rehash all of that again in a fight sequence just so we can have this badass Captain America versus Iron Man fight, which is cool, you know, so I guess it was worth it, but it just, I don't know, I felt like that the conflict had been resolved and we could kind of move forward with these characters, and then they kind of just, like, it almost seemed like a forced kibosh. Like, I mean, even it happened at the beginning when I'm like, why are we seeing this thing from 1991? Why is this thing a big deal? And, you know, Winter Soldier wears his mask and all these things, but for some reason when he goes and kills Tony Stark's parents, he doesn't wear his mask, and, you know, Black Widow says he's a ghost, you know, no one knows anything about him, but, like, there's this, like, CTV footage of him killing, like, two important people. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't want to sound like I hated it. I loved it. I loved it to death. I loved Spider-Man. I loved Ant-Man. I'm a huge fan of Paul Rudd's Ant-Man. And, like, when he, like, goes all super big, you can see, like, his eyes go, like, whoa. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I just had a blast. I thought it was a lot of fun.
And how? Spider-Man was a delight.
A delight is a good word for it.
He's like, dude, you got a metal arm? That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that he was just, like, totally out of his depth, and, like, he was just, like, going along for the ride, and he's like, hey, you're pretty awesome. I can't believe I'm fighting you guys. And Mr. Stark said you'd say that.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I've pretty much got one job here, and I want to make sure I don't make Iron Man mad.
Yeah. And I love Marissa Tomei, so I was excited to see her involvement in this project. Yeah. Hopefully she gets a lot in Homecoming.
A lot naked.
Ooh, I'm in.
She was a wrestler naked a lot, and I like that movie. It's the only thing I remember. And he dies. Spoiler alert.
All I remember from that movie is Mickey Rooney
wrestling. Yes!
Mickey Rourke, when he puts his thumb in, like, the meat slicer. I remember that. I'm like,
And then doesn't he, like, have sex, though, with, like, that one lady's, like, all about firemen or something like that? She's like, oh, are you a fireman? He's got a... Oh, that was weird. I don't know.
Like, yes, I am.
I didn't like how he disappointed his daughter. I was ready for a happy ending, and I didn't get it. Lame. Anyway, back to Civil War. Good shit. Good shit.
Speaking about disappointing daughters, total segue here, but you remember the movie Blow with Johnny Depp, the greatest movie ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I don't want to talk about this.
No, let's talk about it.
But anyways, I was at a function, and he was there. He had just gotten out. And so
Blow? He's still in jail, isn't he?
The guy from Blow? No, he just got out.
Oh.
I guess they decided that he had served his debt to society. But, yeah.
But, did you ask how his daughter was?
Yeah, no, I did. I didn't get a chance to.
Sore subject?
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be like, what's the guy's name who talked to Pete Rose at the All-Star game like a dick? I always forget his name.
Jim Gray.
Jim Gray. I don't want Jim Gray to interview.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah. So what grade do you give Civil War, Randy?
I'm going to go so far as to give it a solid A-.
Nice. And you hated Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Can't stand
it's so funny. You might need to revisit that film.
Honestly, I think I slept through part of the movie, so I really do need to see it again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you love the shit out of this
movie... I don't own it, so I can't watch it, yeah.
Yeah, if you love the shit out of this movie, there's no reason you should not like Winter Soldier.
Man.
Other than that, or my movie-watching habits are completely bipolar. I don't know.
Possibly. What about you, Justin? What grade would you give it?
Yeah, I give it A-. That was fantastic. Yeah. I love the action scenes. They're some good shit. I don't think I like that Ross guy. He's a real piece of shit.
Thunderbolt Ross?
Yeah, and I think the reason why you got stuck with that fight between Winter Soldier and Iron Man and Capitan America is because there was no crazy villain. It was just a guy that was just mad.
Right. You know, they needed a third act.
Yeah. I mean, I get why he was doing it, and I feel bad for the dude, but they needed to fight each other, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, and it was nice. They kind of ended with hope. You know, it's not like it was some huge Debbie Downer. You know, everyone lived to fight another day.
Oh, that's another thing. How do you feel about that? That nobody died.
I was kind of hoping that War Machine was going to die. Well, I mean, just
the land of ambulance. Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have got the Tony Stank joke.
Yeah. True. Which was a pretty great cameo as far as Stan Lee is concerned.
Yeah, no, I was fine with no one dying. Obviously, I know everyone was expecting Captain America to die like he does in the comics, but I would have been sad. I mean, it would have been pointless with them killing him because I know he's back for Avengers, and everyone knows he's coming back for Avengers, and so it would have been a hollow death, and they couldn't kill Tony Stark because they've already made all these big deals that he's going to be in Spider-Man, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know who they could have killed. Were you disappointed that no one died, right, Justin?
No, I don't care. I like everybody. I even like the B Squad.
Even Vision in, like, a turtleneck and, like...
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Cardigan.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. Just that character alone is kind of weird. I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. And I feel like he could stop all of them if he wanted to, but he doesn't. And it's like Scarlet Witch is so powerful, and so is Vision. But if he's not paying attention, then she can get the best of him. I don't know.
Yeah, and they're both characters that are like totally devoid of any interesting qualities. Mm-hmm. And they were paired together for most of the film.
Yeah. Just like, one of those two negatives they call a positive, but not really.
Yeah, not in this case. I'm making soup.
It was pretty sweet when she put the bubble around Crossbones, who blew himself up. I like that. I thought that was neat.
Fucked all up.
But I feel like Captain America should have a gun. Like, I don't like how he just walks around with a...
shield?
With a shield, yeah. I would think he should have some kind of weapon to, when he's blocking, use his other arm to do something else with.
Some sort of ranged weapon?
Am I crazy?
Did you watch
his ranged weapon is his thing.
I know, he throws it all the time, and that's great. But for some reason, I just feel like that he forgot his other weapon at home sometimes. I don't know.
We posted a pretty cool video on Geek Legacy this week that shows a rather older-looking man dressed up as Captain America throwing a shield around, decapitating a dummy, and doing like a body shot and just like breaking all the ribs, causing internal bleeding, and just fucking a guy up in a big bad way. And this is a guy who's probably pushing 70, throwing around a 12-pound Captain America shield, so... Somebody that's all roid raged out could really fuck somebody up.
Looks like an old Stanley.
Oh yeah, I don't doubt the power of his shield and his shield throwing abilities. I'm just sad that that's all he does.
Right, like in the first Captain America, he's got a gun and stuff like that. But
right,
it's like he like got older and realized I don't need this gun. I have shields.
I'm fifth, giant fifth.
Yeah, I can do this all day.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, I mean. Thematically, too, he's kind of anti-gun or anti-killing.
What the hell are those patches on his outfit for, then? Gold in there, if not bullets. He's like a goddamn 90s X-Men character.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about the 90s, but everyone had to have pouches all over their fucking body. You know what? Cyclops was like littered with pouches. Never did he take anything out of his pouches ever. It's not like he needed bullets for his eyes.
That would be sweet if he did.
At some point, you know what decided was pouches are badass.
You know what was in Cyclops' pouches?
What?
Carrots. They're good for your eyes.
Oh.
Gotta get his vitamin A in. And Randy has derailed the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I keep in mind, I love Captain America. I love everything about this movie. I just wish that sometimes he had something else in his hand other than a shield.
Like a dick. So he wouldn't be totally useless when fucking Iron Man just beating him when he doesn't have his shield.
Yeah. I don't know. Whatever. What do I know? Absolutely nothing. That's what.
Absolutely
like
nothing.
Like John Snow. I know nothing. Yeah.
So what do you think of Game of Thrones, Justin?
Yeah, it was good. I don't necessarily agree 100% with some of the direction they've gone. But
But like what? Let's jump into it.
Okay. So I think that High Sparrow guy just got to go. Fucker's got to go. I can't believe that he is still a thing. And I don't like how again, super mega spoiler alert. I don't like how Rickon was captured and they killed his wolf, Shaggy Dog. I'm over the wolf killing. I don't need to see another wolf die. I mean, I know that we didn't, but we had its head on a hook, and that was plenty. And I'm fucking sick of it. There are 5 wolf pups, and now only 2 are alive, and 1 we haven't seen since, like, the 2nd episode. And that bothers me. Other than it was fine.
It was funny. There's 3 still alive.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. The cripple
somewhere.
Kids. Well, there's the cripple kids who. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Is Nymeria. Yeah, I was thinking of her, wolf and Ghost. I forgot all about Bran.
Summer or whatever.
And every time he gets out of his visions and he starts crawling on his arms, I hate it. He's like a Doug.
He's like I got an
especially
no
dangerous Doug.
Yeah, he's an unexceptional Doug.
He's like Sabulba's like cousin.
Yeah, he's the worst. He's I love the flashbacks, but as soon as you take that away from him, I immediately am not liking him. But whatever, it is what it is. Overall, the episode was great. I'm just frustrated with the dead wolf more than anything.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. What about you, Randy? What did you think of the episode?
You know, even though we had some exciting stuff happening, it still felt slow as hell. Mm-hmm. And when it ended, I'm like, I thought we were like 20 minutes into this thing because it felt like there should have been so much more. I did like seeing all the perpetrators of Jon Snow's murder get executed.
Yes.
Including
great.
The fucking kid. That's brutal.
Ollie?
And he just fucking leaves. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's fucking till death do us part, man. I died. I'm done.
My watch is over.
Yeah,
my watch
much.
Is ended, man.
Pretty much. They're like, well, what the hell are we supposed to do?
Yeah. I don't care. Wear it, burn it. Fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah. You did get more Daenerys.
We did.
And
as uninteresting as it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of my problem with the episode was like, and the show as a show as a whole is that there's so many characters, and they've hinted that they're winding down this series, and they just need to fucking just pretend like some plot threads don't exist. Like, that Sam and Gilly shit, I don't give fucks about those characters. I was hoping that they were going to just make the ship sink, and that's, like, how they were going to, like, write off that plot thread. And there's so many characters that everyone gets, like, 3 minutes, and we get these, like, real quick glimpses. And some of them are amazing. Like, all the wall shit was great. You know, the Varys, trying to, like, sweet talk that girl. Like, even it's just 2 people in a room, and I would have watched a whole hour on it. You know, anything and everything with, like, Cersei and Jaime is great. But, you know, we get these Daenerys scenes, which are fucking useless. And I understand they're setting something up, but, you know, they're going to drag that shit out with the whole, like, you know, council deciding, you know, if she lives or dies or whatever. You know, get the fuck rid of Gilly. Get rid of a lot of these, like, just side characters, and just don't explore their stories unless they're going to expand on the main story they're trying to tell. I think they need to just cut bait on a lot of these peripheral characters, and it makes me mad that
You think Daenerys is a peripheral
character? No. I think that they need to. Everything about Daenerys moves at glacier speed. Everything is so fucking slow, you know, in everything in her storyline. I just want to see something happen in an expedient manner to where I don't want the season to end with, like, her finally getting out of this, like, this city, this Dothraki city. And that's the way we're going. I mean, where are we going? I mean, we didn't even get, you know, Jorah. We didn't get, you know, all of the people trying to help her and stuff like that. And it's just, there's a main story here in Game of Thrones. And clearly Jon Snow has a part to play in this. And clearly Daenerys has a part to play in it. Clearly Tyrion has a part to play in it. And they've kind of gone out of their way to combine characters in the past. But now it seems to be going the other way. We have all of these characters. We have now we're going to throw the Greyjoys into it. I thought the best part of last season was that they kind of nixed almost the entire Greyjoys, like, story. And now we're going back there. They mentioned Dorne twice in this episode, which means we're going back to fucking Dorne that nobody cares about. And yeah, just they need to get this shit on the road. If they're planning on ending this show soon, they need to stop fucking around. Boom.
Done.
Am I just the asshole?
No.
Usually.
Yeah, I mean, typically. I mean, in this case.
Historically.
Not in general.
Yeah, I just think that we're getting small snippets of characters we want and small snippets of characters that nobody wants. And now we're getting Rickon back in? Oh, fuck that, dude. We're going to get Rickon-centric shit now. Like, you know what was great about Rickon? Is that he was the star kid that was still alive that we didn't have to fucking deal with. But now, yeah, now, and I was so upset they killed that wolf. It's like, these wolves are, like, special. Like, and they're just killing them willy-nilly. I understand that dire wolves are expensive to animate, but they could have done it away with it a different way, and I don't think they got the shock factor out of it that they wanted.
Oh, it just irritated me.
Yeah, it was sad. Mm-hmm. Poor Shaggy Dog. Mm.
So how many have died, if there's still three alive?
Three
have died.
Three, okay.
Halfway point.
Lady was first, then Grey Wolf, or whatever his name, Grey Wind, and then now Shaggy Dog.
Yeah, and then Bran has Summer, John has Ghost, and Nymeria was Arya's wolf. It's still, I mean, who knows if she's a... In the books, we get, like, little glimpses here and there, but... Well, speaking of which, Arya got her sight back, so that's good.
Yeah.
So
I've
been
watching a girl beat the shit out of her for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was irritating. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I love the show, but there are parts that I just want to cut out. Yeah, like, if I were watching it again, I would fast-forward through a lot of the episodes.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But no Bayless. We get him next week. It finally looks like we get him next week.
Oh, I didn't look at... I didn't watch scenes.
Okay.
I'll have to do that. Yeah, you're not spoiling anything for me. I was in a rush to hop on the podcast. I forgot about the scenes.
Yeah, and I'm super interested in Jon Snow shit. Jon Snow, the fucking... What are the people from the Wall going to do? Is Jon Snow going to take his wildling army and, like, march on Winterfell? I mean, that shit's cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some of this other stuff for the birds, man. If I get Sam and Gilly again, I could just not care less.
I don't like that at all. I was in the same boat. Me and Corey were just like, ugh, when they came on the screen. Oh, shit. I'm like, stupid fat hobbit. I'm like freaking out.
Now some Sam Gilly shipper is going to fucking email us saying, like, they're the best part of the show. They humanized the characters.
Hey, I don't like humans. I like dragons and white walkers and direwolves.
Yep. And today we didn't get any dragons and only a head of a direwolf.
Yeah, we got two no-shows and one sick triceratops.
100%. Hey, did you hear we have a new Han Solo?
I heard. Some German guy.
Yeah. Alden, but you pronounced it good earlier. Alden Ehrenreich. I think that's what we decided, right? Alden Ehrenreich?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so he was cast as the young Han Solo in the Chris Miller, Phil Lord, Han Solo standalone film. And, you know, he looks like he could be a cocky dude. He looks like he's kind of got the vibe. I'd buy it. You guys seeing it, or you buying or selling, Justin?
I'm indifferent.
Oh, that's never a good one. That's the worst of them all. That's the last thing they want. Yeah. What about you, Randy? You buying or selling this guy?
You know, I haven't seen anything that he's in, so I'm willing to give him a chance, but I'm also going to go on record as saying I, as well as much of the internet, seems to be bummed out that they didn't go with that Anthony and Gruber guy that looks like a freaking clone of young Harrison Ford. Yeah. The only thing is, I don't know how his acting ability is. Obviously, they went with Ehrenreich for a reason, so... And, you know, typically their reasons are usually may he who portrays the character best win. So I'm going to defer to their experience on this one and say we'll just have to wait and give it a look.
Sure.
How do you feel about it, David?
He's pretty good in Hail Caesar. He's got a smaller part, but he kind of steals the show. He was in Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine. He had a small part, which was just so-so. And he had a decent role in that Beautiful Creatures young adult adaptation. And
a sequel to A Fish Called Wanda.
Exactly. And it's surprisingly that I didn't see it when it first came out. I caught it on like Netflix or something, and it was actually pretty good. It's too bad.
No, it wasn't. The one that takes place in like New Orleans or something like that.
They say New Orleans.
New Orleans, and there's that Emmy Rossum chick is in it.
No, you're thinking like City of Bones, like the musical instruments thing.
No. Look it up. Hmm.
It was a wonderful movie.
The chick that's in the Shameless is like one of the bad evil sisters on that.
I don't watch the Shameless.
She was Bulma in that Dragon Ball Z movie, and she was Kurt Russell's daughter in the ship sinking movie.
Poseidon?
Yeah.
Well, is this the movie we were looking at?
There's a couple ship sinking movies.
Titanic? Yeah. He was in that one?
Poseidon.
But, yeah, I mean, so...
I like Star Wars!
Yeah, we knew it was going to happen. We knew we were getting a... we're going to get a new Han Solo. This poor kid's going to just be littered with shit, you know?
Oh, I know. Why don't they use the Benjamin Button technology on Harrison Ford?
Maybe Marvel doesn't want to share.
Honestly, it's good, but I don't think it's that good.
Dang.
And well, okay, the visuals, or at least the bulk of the visuals for Captain America Civil War was done by ILM, which is also kind of owned by Disney. So, I mean, theoretically, they could do it. But if you look at it, it looks a little bit too fake, a little bit plastic, a little bit not quite right. At least on the close-ups of the young Robert Downey Jr. So, which worked in the context of Civil War because it was a hologram. It was a forgery to begin with. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's now. To me, it was dead on in Ant-Man. Wasn't quite as dead on in Civil War.
Yeah,
it's getting better. It still leaps and bounds better than we were 5 years ago for Tron Legacy.
But that was still pretty neat when we saw that.
Oh yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It's fucking amazing.
It's like, dude, they shot this like 30 years ago.
Yeah,
they were waiting just in case.
They released this footage, man. This was used, man.
I think, honestly, in 5 years after they've released the last Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie, and they kick around the idea of maybe doing something younger, and they want to computer generate a younger Harrison Ford, maybe 5-10 years from now they'll be ready for that, and it'll sell on screen. Right. But as of right now, it's real close, but I don't think it's there.
Yeah, but if you're just going to animate, I mean, what's the point? I mean, then it's just like a cartoon.
Well, you can still have his voice. You can still have him motion captured if he's, you know, spry enough.
Yeah, but it's never going to be the same as, you know, the visual cues you'd get from, like, a live person. Like, I'd prefer just a new person.
I'd prefer they didn't touch it.
Yeah.
I don't care. They can make any more Star Wars, and I'll go see it regardless.
Yeah, I mean, they're hoping this will spawn, you know, its own series of films. And so, you know, he'll be around. You know, maybe he'll show up. Maybe now that he's cast, he can show up in Rogue One.
Spawn was black.
He was. Michael J. White.
Have we interviewed him? We have not. Put him on the list. He should be in Star Wars.
He should. He should be in everything.
Mm-hmm. Forrest Whitaker's in that Rogue One movie. I saw a trailer for it again, and it's so cool.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for it again today, too.
I'm so ready for that movie. I can't believe we were this close to it being a summer release, and now we got to wait till Christmas.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
A little disappointed.
I want Jin to be a bad guy. I want her to turn.
Yeah! I mean, that's what they tease in the trailer.
Yeah, it just sort ends of. With she's her just like, fuck the rebels.
Yeah, she's just infiltrating, though, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Who knows? That's, that we think so, but so many secrets. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, like, I mean, it would be a wasted plot twist just because it's in the end, they're still going to get the plans. Like, right. It would be foolish for her to, like, fooled you, rebels are going to die, and then all of a sudden Forrest Whitaker's like, back up, this bitch, and, like, just storms off and gets it to him.
Unless it fast-forwards and shows episode 4 footage, and she's like, oh, man, I'm so glad I betrayed those stupid rebels. They're about to die. And then
the commentary.
Yeah. And then the Death Star blows up.
Those stupid rebels trying to attack this base. There's nothing they can get.
And then, it is. Boom. I bet they're the same assholes that were running at the walkers.
Yeah. No, you run away from them, sillies.
Randy disagrees. He wants to run towards to get under their feet. That's how it works in Dark Souls. If it's a big boss that has a ranged attack, you get up close and you whack it.
I guess it depends on what's behind them.
Yeah, the ocean.
Yeah, worse
the ocean?
Shit.
What ocean?
Lay ocean. Well, sticking with Star Wars, you guys remember that crazy rumor pre The Force Awakens that the opening was going to be Luke Skywalker's hand from Bespin still clutching the lightsaber, falling to the desert planet and getting discovered by somebody?
Thank
God that was just some fan made up piece of shit, right?
Yeah, that was never a real thing, right?
No.
Apparently, Mr. Hamill, Luke Skywalker himself, confirmed that the original opening to The Force Awakens was going to be a hand holding a lightsaber falling to the planet and the hand burning up in the atmosphere, but the lightsaber reaching the ground and being picked up by our...
somebody.
Ray. Oh, yeah, just somebody. Yeah, we didn't know who it was going
to... Yeah, a hand picks it up that may or may not have been Maz Kanata or something like that.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. That makes her saying that's a story for a different time way worse. It's like, I found it in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story. My dad banged his mom. All right, it's a short story.
Yeah. How'd it get into outer space anyway?
I don't know.
It came out the poop chute of Bespin, right?
And it falls. Yeah, and then it falls downward and into space.
Well, it falls downward and hits. Planet. It hits a passing TIE fighter, and it just, like, bounces off
the
wing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Catch a ride.
Yeah, it's magnetic. Yeah. It's magnetic. It sticks to it for a while.
And then the guy gets the wiper blades, and he wipes it off.
But it's like,
is that a hand?
The
what
water.
The fuck? Yeah.
Gotta spray the water on it.
Oh.
So, yes, this would have been a terrible idea, and I'm glad that they did not go with it.
It ranks up there with a jump to conclusions mat.
Yes. Whoa. This idea is just
it is horrible.
Speaking of what could have been good news for Star Wars, Boba Fett was going to have a bigger role. It was Star Wars Day last week, so we got a bunch of Star Wars stories. Boba Fett was going to have a bigger role in Return of the Jedi when Lucas was originally, when he was still going to make the 9 movies. But once he cut 7, 8, and 9, because those were never going to happen, he had to shrink all of that plot into episode 6, and there was no room for Boba Fett, who was going to be one of the main villains of Return of the Jedi. So I guess the poor guy got screwed. I guess that's why no one cares about him or cosplays as him or collects his action figures or anything like that. Right, Randy?
What? No.
Would this have ruined Boba Fett? Would Boba Fett have been as cool if he had been like the main villain of Return of the Jedi?
No, there's no way he would have been as cool. So the only way that Boba Fett could have achieved the cult status that he is right now is by it going down the exact way that it did. Maybe not dying like a bitch in the Sarlacc pit, but...
Less is more.
Honestly, yeah. It is interesting to think that he would have been the big bad in Return of the Jedi, whatever it would have been called, and then the entire next trilogy, 7, 8, and 9, would have just been essentially Acts 2 and 3 of Return of the Jedi, just the Luke versus Vader versus Emperor thing. I really would have liked to have seen how that would have progressed over a 3-movie arc. But I think Boba Fett, he was in it just the right amount. No more, no less.
What do you think, Justin? You're a big Fett guy.
I was always more of a Star Wars guy myself.
You a fan of the Fett?
Yeah, I'm with Randy. That's less is more. He was mysterious. Girls like a guy that's mysterious. You don't want to whip it out right away. You want to cover it up. Have a little bit of mystery, you know? And he had that.
Yeah.
He was a little short, but whatever.
Was he?
Well, next to David Prowse, I think any asshole is short.
Oh, well, yeah.
But he looks like an itty-bitty next to Darth Vader.
Yeah, all right.
What about you, Dave? What do you think?
I agree. I can't imagine Boba Fett, the character we know, being like someone that would drive the narrative as a villain. Oh. You know, I don't see him. Yeah, he'd have to take his helmet off, probably.
We don't like that.
He talks in like two word sentences, and yeah, I just don't see it. unless the whole Return of the Jedi was going to be like him delivering Han Solo, and it was going to be like a smaller film.
Yeah.
You know, but
they
locked
down Jabba's palace like a fortress, and there's a siege, and it's a one-man siege, and Luke comes to rescue.
Yeah.
Could have been cool if they were like following Slave One, trying to beat him there, or like following him as he's like making all these stops, the grocery store and the space convenience store, and he's getting some space gas, and they try to stop him along the way.
They set up a toll booth.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna get a shitload of dimes. They needed And then Luke and Leia and Chewie and Lando and all them, just instead of coming one at a time, they all come together so they can actually put up a fight. That would have been nice, too.
Yeah.
Stupids.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know what else I don't get? I don't get part ones and part twos of films.
There's a lot of those.
You got your Mockingjays, your Breaking Dawns, your Harry Potter's.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a real stigma attached to them, and I think most people think that when they see a part one and part two, that means that either part one's not worth seeing or part one's going to be all set up for part two and you should wait to watch it. And the fine folks at Marvel definitely noticed the Hunger Games struggling and have decided to ditch their idea to call Avengers 3 and 4 Infinity Wars part 1 and 2. And I'm sure one of them will still be called Infinity War, but they will no longer have part 1 and part 2, and the other one will have a separate title. So, Justin, smart move?
I mean, I guess it's going to have to be. That's their idea of, it's like a, almost like a, what do you call it? Like a PR stunt to get the sour grapes out of our mouth. You know what I mean? So I guess it is a smart move. That way we feel like, oh yeah, after we watch not part one, we have our resolution, and then it just gets us more excited for, ooh, what could happen next? Like, you know, the battle for Helm's Deep is over, but the battle for Middle Earth has just begun.
Right, and I think you kind of nailed it with the Lord of the Rings reference, because I was going to bring it back around to The Hobbit, because I think when you don't have the part one and part two, for some reason it seems like it's adding a bigger value to it. It's placing more importance on Avengers 3, whatever it be called, rather than 3.5 and then 3 and then 3.5, rather. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well played.
Lame.
Lame-o, blame-o, but the Russos, you know, they know what they're doing. I have complete faith in Joe and Anthony Russo. They've got two home runs under their belt in my book, and I can't wait to see what they do with an even bigger canvas. But yeah, that's pretty cool stuff. But yeah, I think that's really all there is for the news. You got a list or anything?
Wait, maybe? Aren't we going to talk about Ghostbusters?
Oh shit, that's right. We forgot about the fuck storm that Paul Feig started. Randy, this is your story. You tell us all about it.
All right. So apparently, the new Ghostbusters reboot director Paul Feig is on record as saying that the geek community is home to some of the biggest a-holes I've ever met. And this is, of course, in response to the big campaign online where everybody is downvoting the new Ghostbusters trailer on YouTube so it can be the lowest rated video in history. And it is. The geeks have succeeded. But I will have to admit, and you know, I say this on behalf of geek culture as a member of Geek Legacy, sometimes we can be a big bag of dicks. So this is one of those times. I feel a certain amount of ire reading something like that, because I don't like anybody making negative statements towards a group that I associate myself with, but at the same time, I am very aware of the people that are within this group with me, you know, and I'm like, I guess, you know, he's kind of right. I don't know. What do you guys think? It's a bold statement.
Yeah, I don't care. It is a bold statement.
It's like Amanda's back.
I know. No, it's true. It is true. We are all dicks. I mean, I wouldn't go so far as to thumbs down a video. I remember not liking the trailer and not being impressed. But I didn't take to the internet and share horrible thoughts about all the people involved with the movie like so many people did. I was like, I'm not sold, and you know, maybe it'll be better down the road, but as of right now, I'm not impressed. That was my you know, my reaction. I couldn't believe it was so unfunny. And
yeah, it was very underwhelming.
Yeah, it's like, okay, great. This is one of my favorite movies from my childhood, and it's something that we watch and quote all the time. And to have it brought back, it's under that special nostalgia umbrella, so it needs to have a wow factor, and it did not. It fizzled, and that's all there is to it. I mean, they could have. I have to believe that the director saw that trailer before we did, and if he was impressed by it, then that's his problem. That's all I got to say about it. I didn't downvote the video. I didn't thumbs down the video. I came on the podcast and said, "Wow, I am unimpressed," and that's all there is to it. I didn't call. I didn't say, "Oh, I hate everyone involved." That new Ghostbusters video game that's out. I was reading the comments on the Pixelated podcast, and someone went so far as to say, "My eyes have AIDS," and that's terrible. It's funny. It's more funny than the trailer, but what can you do?
Yeah, I'm with both of you. I think that we all were horrifically underwhelmed with the trailer when it first came out, and they shortly after released an international trailer, which was marginally better because it pumped up more Chris Hemsworth giving his jokes. You know, Leslie Jones had a couple more jokes in it, and we got to see a little more Kate McKinnon. And I think the studio agrees with us, because in the theaters, they're no longer playing the trailer that's being downvoted as much as it is. They're playing an amalgam of the international trailer and this original trailer. So even the studio's admitting that their trailer wasn't, you know, the best. And just for a statistics point of view, the Ghostbusters trailer has 31.5 million views. It has 234,000 upvotes and 765,000 downvotes. So it has three times as many downvotes as upvotes. And we know the internet is only going to get you so far. You know, this was already going to this. The whole thing started because someone had noticed that naturally it had already achieved more downvotes than upvotes, and you know, YouTube had actually announced that it was like, it had broken a record for, you know, the most downvoted trailer ever. And then it just became like a joke, and everyone was like, well, let's just continue this trend, kind of like how American Idol used to have, like, vote for the worst, or you'd vote for, like, the worst singer just to fuck with Fox and stuff. And, you know, if Paul Feig wants to hate on us, you know, we're an opinionated and passionate group.
Wait,
and
people used to do that? Like, if someone was awful, everyone would vote so they would just stay the show?
Yeah, there was like one season. There's this one guy named like Senjai or something like that.
Oh yeah, I remember him with all the crazy hair, right?
Yeah, and he was the fucking worst. But like, that was the season like Howard Stern got involved and like vote for the worst. And so like he would tell everyone like, oh, the vote for the worst want you to vote for this person, and like he ended up being like sixth place.
Wow.
So he went pretty far. But I think that Paul Feig probably should have thought before he spoke. You know. We are a bag of dicks sometimes, as Randy had said. You know, if you never want to bitch, they always bitch about like adaptations and character depictions and stuff like that. But you know, we're also pretty loyal, and we're pretty fervent fanboys at times. So you probably don't want to have us on your bad side. but yeah, as Randy eloquently put it, we can be bag of dicks.
Mm-hmm. That's my job, to be a bag of dicks every week.
Yeah. It's like an all-you-can-eat dick buffet.
Yeah, ooh. Now we're talking.
For, like, butt
stuff. Sausages.
Oh.
Veggie.
Them two at a time.
Veggie sausages.
No way. You're not eating them.
You just said.
You don't have to have veggie sausages.
Oh. I like veggie sausage.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I like mine made of direwolf.
Oh, that's bad.
little gamey.
What does that even mean? Does that mean that's something that I wouldn't normally eat? Like, it means, like, it doesn't taste like chicken or cow. It tastes, it's just gamey.
I associate that it doesn't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It tastes too much like meat.
Right.
Smith's meat.
I don't know what to say to that. I do know that I'm going to see this movie, and I do know that it's going to take a lot to impress me.
Kate McKinnon's in it, so I got hope. She is a funny lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she didn't write it.
They're all funny ladies.
Yeah, oh yeah. But she, I mean, I like all four of the girls. I like for different reasons. Like sure. Even Melissa McCarthy. You know, I think that she's what Paul Feig does with her is great. Like I like in Bridesmaids, she kills me every time. Like she steals like takes like nine puppies.
Yeah, she like holds them up while she's driving and stuff. Yeah, that's funny. But that's small doses, Dave. That's what I'm talking about. Like she's great in small doses. Like. I mean, I'm super mega proud of her that she's landed this role. I think that's fantastic. But at the same time, let's just pretend that she was the manager of a hotel that they go and stop a ghost at. That could have been an amazing 5 minutes that she was in the movie.
Agreed. But I wouldn't say that she's. I would say here, Bridesmaid is an ensemble cast, which is what I'm hoping this will be. This isn't a Melissa McCarthy starring vehicle. You know, she's part of this bigger group, you know, of four, possibly five, depending on how big Chris Hemsworth's part is. And so I'm hoping that that's what it is, because I don't think you haven't seen Spy yet, right?
Seen what?
Spy?
No. I'm not into that. Oh. I don't like spy movies, Dave.
It's got Statham in it.
It does.
And he kills it.
Does she beat him up?
He is the best in them. I'm not going to say.
Does she beat him up?
No, she doesn't beat him up. She's Melissa McCarthy. He's Jason Statham.
Does he kill her?
He does not kill her. Spoiler alert.
If we say yes, will it make you watch
it? Is he the bad guy? Is there a bad guy? I don't know anything about this movie.
It's a spy movie. Bad guy, good guy is sometimes a gray area.
It's relative. Anyway, I digress. Do you have a list?
I do. So I hope you guys brought some popcorn and an extra drink because this is a top 30.
Oh, woo-hoo! God.
You see how much we interrupt you, right?
Right. I'm doing this as punishment, fuckers. Ooh.
Top 30 what?
For who?
This is, I can do this all night. You feel free to stop me whenever you want. I can rough out 10, but all of these are good. And this is actually really fun. These are 30 Ghostbusters facts you probably didn't know.
Oh, shit. Ooh.
I know some a lot of facts.
Probably, I know. Some of them you probably do know. But
I'm
the
a
average
bit of an
person,
insufferable know-it-all.
This is targeted towards the average person. All and right. Not the the uber geek that apparently Paul Feig hates. All right? Mm. All right.
You,
so,
Dave. He hates you.
I'm on his side. He doesn't hate me. I'm going to see this movie. I didn't download shit.
He doesn't know that. He just knows that you're a geek. You're head of Geek Legacy, so therefore you are an asshole.
I don't think he hates me. He just says I'm a bag of dicks. Mm.
Continue your list.
No, our first
start list.
Yeah, number 30.
With a bullet.
Number 30. 29! 28!
With the doors closed, you're starting.
Dan Aykroyd was the initial driving force behind the film. His family, especially his grandfather, whom Aykroyd once attempted to construct a radio that reached the spirit world, were fascinated by ghosts.
The spirit world.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd, he's into the supernatural and the UFOs and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
He's a believer. Continue.
Originally, the story was set in the future and focused on a worldwide bunch of Ghostbusters. It was director Ivan Reitman's decision to concentrate on one group of Ghostbusters working out of a fire station in New York. This one's kind of fun. This one I didn't know. Eddie Murphy and John Candy were originally scheduled to appear. Murphy was to have played Winston Zeddemore, and Candy was going to be hapless Louis Tully. Due to a clash with filming Beverly Hills Cop, Murphy had to back out, while Candy eventually declined the role.
Really? Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Something you didn't know.
I knew it.
You didn't know.
Insufferable.
No. We've talked about it on this show like twice.
I had no idea that Eddie Murphy was supposed to be in it.
What? You just not listening to me, Candy? We've been together so long, you just toned me out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were like 2.3 active black actors in 1984, and they got Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pose this in the form of a question. And if you know, then maybe I'll give you a little bit more credit than you deserve, probably.
Great.
I'm teasing. After Belushi's death and before Bill Murray was confirmed to appear, Which two actors were linked with the part of Peter Venkman?
Chevy Chase.
Martin Short.
Close. Chevy Chase and Michael Keaton.
Oh. Why is that close? I guess half.
It could start with an M.
That's funny.
During her audition, Sigourney Weaver began to imitate a dog. Such was her enthusiastic portrayal, Reitman knew that she was perfect for the role immediately.
Mm. I didn't like her back then.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, we've talked about her not being, like, you know, the sexy lady until, like, fucking Galaxy Quest and all. But I just remember as a kid just not finding her attractive.
Not buying it.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. There's 80s attractive, and then there's what's considered traditionally attractive.
Right,
now.
But I mean, I remember watching, like, you know, when I was a kid, MTV was a big deal, right? And I would watch a lot of music videos, and there were a lot of hot women in those videos. Like Whitney Houston, for example. She was gorgeous in all of her videos. Like the I Want to Dance with Somebody video, she was dancing with a white dude, and I was like, oh my god, I got a chance. That was my thought process when I was a kid. I was like, oh my god, I could totally get with Whitney Houston. Look, she's dancing with a white guy. I just happen to be white. Thank you so much. That's all I got.
Alright.
Sorry.
I liked it when you made them questions.
Yes.
Okay, so, according to Reitman, Aykroyd and Ramis had distinct roles for the three leads, Venkman, Ray Stantz, and Egon Spengler. Which one was the mouth, which one was the heart, and which one was the brains? Should be
The mouth is Venkman. And
yeah.
The heart was Stantz, and the brains was Spengler. I always heard it as the Wizard of Oz, that it was that they were doing courage, brains, and heart. But it's fun to hear mouth. It suits him better.
It does, right? All right, what was the original title of Ghostbusters?
It was like Ghost, not Smash, like Ghost Stompers?
Ghost Smashers. Your first instinct was correct. See, we're almost making this into a game. You guys don't have a game tonight, do you?
Mm-mm.
Okay, cool. So we're almost gaming this up. All right.
It tastes gamey.
I thought it was... Yeah.
But.
Did you know there was something called Ghostbusters before this movie?
It was like The Ghostbusters or some shit.
In 1975, there was a short-lived animated TV show from Filmation called The Ghostbusters. Two separate words, Ghostbusters. And Columbia Pictures actually had to pay Filmation a license fee to use the name Ghostbusters.
What?
Yeah.
How much was that?
They liked it so much, doesn't say. But,
$200.
Kind of interesting. All right, so get this. Did you guys know that Harold Ramis was not originally going to play Egon Spengler?
Yeah.
He became so attached to the part when writing it that he decided he was going to have to come out of his quasi-retirement from acting to come in and play the part. But can you name me some actors who were originally considered for the role?
Rick Moranis.
Christopher Lloyd is one of them.
And there's another Christopher or somebody.
Christopher Walken.
There you go. Yeah, Christopher Reeve.
John Lithgow.
Jeff Goldblum.
And Jeff Goldblum. You're right. You're right. Those are the four actors. Very good.
I knew two of them.
All right. Can you name me seven actors? It's your idea to make a fucking game out of this.
Chevy Chase. Another question.
That appear in the Ray Parker Jr. music video. For the title track.
Every answer I'm going to have is Chevy Chase.
Chevy Chase is one of them, yes.
Rick Moranis.
Yeah. Negative.
What was the other one?
Dan Aykroyd.
John Candy.
John Candy. Answer. Yep. John Candy.
Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Danny DeVito. Terry Garr. Carly Simon. George Wendt. Jeffrey Tambor. Peter Falk. And Al Franken.
So they're in the video?
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Okay, so now that we're kind of on the same track as that, can you tell me three I was going to say 80s icons, but none of these are really 80s icons.
Oh, yeah, I could tell you some. There was the
three
guy...
Three cameos in the movie.
Okay, so the radio guy.
Uh-huh, Larry King.
Larry King, yeah. No, Larry King is one, but the guy that does the Casey Kasem. That's who I was thinking
Okay,
of.
He's not listed here, but you're absolutely right. Yeah, I'll totally give you that one. So, Casey Kasem, Larry
Ron
King.
Jeremy's in the movie, right?
Yes, I don't know where, but he's according to this, he's in there.
I don't know where he's at. I just remember hearing about him and some other porn actresses in it, too.
Well, 80s pop queen Debbie Gibson is also in it.
Well, she did Playboy. That counts, right?
Not exactly, but I don't know what role she is either, though.
Is the guy that asks Ray, how is Elvis and have you seen him lately? Is he somebody famous or no? You know, he's like on a talk show.
Yeah,
the question on everyone's mind is, how is Elvis and have you seen him lately?
It's probably like Merv Griffin or something.
Oh.
Yeah. One of those before our time.
Mike Douglas. Yep. Oh my goodness, Mike Douglas.
Oh man, we're watching Nutty Professor. Mike Douglas make me moist.
So bad. Did we get them all? Or was there a third?
That's it. It was Larry King, Debbie Gibson, and Ron Jeremy.
Oh, that's right. But yes, Casey Kasem.
Yeah, it's a fourth one. Very good. All right, so do you guys know what the nickname for Slimer was on set?
Stinky.
Close.
What?
Onion Head.
Tony Stank.
Onion Head, because the foul stench it emitted.
Yikes. It was a real ghost on set.
He had no name initially, and it was
like John Belushi
audience. Yeah, it was the audience that came up with the name Slimer. So in the sequel and in the animated series, he is named Slimer. But on a separate line here, it says that Aykroyd called him the ghost of John Belushi because he's just a party guy looking to have a good time. Yeah, you got a bonus point there, David.
Sweet.
I'm keeping track.
That's sad.
So despite being perceived as a New York movie, it wasn't shot there for very long. Do any of you want to take a guess as to how many weeks it was actually shot in the Big Apple?
Two.
Eh, jinx.
Oh, wow. That is a jinx. Anyone
else?
Claim something? Anyone else?
Four.
One.
Nope, split the difference. It was three. 3 weeks. No, it really isn't. Do you know what was used instead of marshmallow for the Stay Puft marshmallow explosion at the end?
Semen. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, duh. Or semen. Maybe.
That's the porn version, exclusively starring Ron Jeremy. Shaving foam.
Yeah. Is that the same as shaving cream?
Foam starts out as cream and then it expands. The cream expands.
Sorry, I asked that question.
And it works. The bottom unscrews, and if customs tries to check it, it works.
But no methyl?
Don't get cheap on me, not.
Johnson.
That was
Johnson's
mistake.
We got Johnson.
Nobody cares. Oh, shit. This is a great list. What else you got?
All right. When it came to shooting the final scene, the ending still hadn't been clearly sketched out. It was only when discussing what to do that the idea of crossing the streams, which was referenced in an earlier draft in the film, was hit upon. Huh. So they had no idea. They got to the end. They got to Act 3. They're like, I have no idea how we're going to beat this fucker. And they were just spitballing on set from the sound of it. That's kind of crazy. So this is kind of fun. I can't really I can't bring this to the form of a question, but it's amazing. So for years after the film first screened, the film's villain, William Atherton, who plays Walter Peck, the Ghostbusters nemesis, was routinely abused in public to the point where he was involved in a number of altercations in bars, and he was even shouted at by a bus of tourists in downtown New York.
Wow.
Yes.
He's an incredible villain.
No dick.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Of course people need to separate fact from fiction, but he's so fantastic as a villain that it's easy to see that.
Yeah, like that squarmy, like his Die Hard role and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
And that grin that he does. He just looks like such a fucking asshole all the time. I love it.
It'd be pretty cool if he showed up in the new Ghostbusters.
He's who I wanted to be the health inspector in Pink Lemonade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been happy to have that.
Like this.
Shit, yeah.
This fucking picture of him grinning, I just sent it to you guys. The top photo there. It's just like, oh my god, you're such an asshole. I remember in Real Genius, he was a dick in that, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Was that popcorn? I hate popcorn.
Yeah. Who eats popcorn, anyway? So, I mean, I'm sure people do, but no one would admit it.
I eat popcorn. You don't eat popcorn?
What?
You don't eat popcorn?
I love it. I'm saying, who hates popcorn? And anyone that does wouldn't admit popcorn. It. Yeah.
I think you said who eats popcorn. I'm like,
no.
Oh, a lot of
I was like, who hates it? You're just an asshole if you hate popcorn.
Dick.
Mm-hmm. I like him. He's in Lost, too. Remember, he was the principal.
Oh, yeah.
He was John Locke's boss. At the hospital. I said principal at the hospital, but he's principal at the high school. I'm losing my mind. Sorry, continue.
All right, so I'm only going to do a couple more, and then we can move on.
Oh, we got nothing else.
All right, I'll keep going. Fuck it, I got all night.
You guys are done listening to us. Just rate us 5 stars on iTunes and check out the other Pixelated podcast and the Comic Corner podcast. Go to geeklegacy.com for geek news and reviews. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and you rule. Otherwise, stick around for the rest of this list.
Yeah, stick around.
And then say, #, I survived the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. I survived Randy's list.
I survived the top 30.
There you go.
All right.
We got to cement this. I don't want multiple hashtags. What are we going with here? I survived what?
Randy's rock.
Yes. I survived Randy's rock.
Suh.
Oh, rock plural.
Yeah.
Hashtag I survived Randy rocks.
Add a Z.
No Z. We're kidding. People are confused.
I guarantee not a single hashtag will appear.
No way, like 4
hashtag
weeks later.
Hashtag the word hashtag. There you go.
It'll be like 4 weeks later. Like all of a sudden I got like 1 week I got all these like I survived 182.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell are these people talking about? I got like 8 of them. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
That's awesome.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot we get my hashtag.
Oh man, yeah. You always
and
know.
That was probably one of those.
Oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say it was probably one of those weeks we like uploaded it several days afterwards. And we've all forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. It happens. I just don't know what to do with myself when I work a long day and gotta come home and record. My mind is just not here. I am all over the place, and I feel bad.
Sometimes I blame it on the fact that I'm drinking while we podcast, and sometimes I'm like working simultaneously on other things, so my brain isn't always 100% there, and I apologize for that. But at the same time, it makes it fun when I listen to it, going, "Wow, I totally didn't realize that was the crux of the conversation." Like I only picked out bits and pieces of it when I was there in the moment.
I know. Dave will ask me a question, and I just answer something that has nothing to do with what he just asked me. I'm like,
sorry, I just figured because that's because you are a politician in training.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep going. Number 3 of 30. One of Bill Murray's favorite scenes is the experiment with the cards and administering electrical shocks. Based on a real case study, the Milgram experiment, the purpose of the scene was to see how an audience would react to a hero who handed out unfair electric shocks.
That was great. I remember that experiment. And people had to, they were pressing a button to shock somebody, but they had nobody was really getting hurt. And they were behind a closed door, and you heard them screaming. There was audio of people screaming, like, no, don't shock me anymore. And then if they guessed the wrong answer, they just kept shocking them. Only like one person said, fuck this, I ain't doing this. Everyone else is like, die. And they just kept shocking fools. It's terrible. Because there was a disconnect, because you're not seeing them actually get hurt. You might be hearing them, but someone, and the thing is, someone told them to do it, right? So it's one of those things, well, I was told to do this. I'm just doing my job. And that's horrible.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, what would you do in that position? I know, right?
Oh, I'd be frying fuckers is what I'd do.
I'm sure
that was Gwendolyn. That was Gwendolyn Pierce in the
that is
Charles and Sheriff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Jennifer Runyon, and I'm happy to tell you guys that in the very near future, I am actually going to be working with her.
What?
She has a small cameo role in Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death. The film that I'm shooting, that I'm the director of photography for, that is going to be shooting the majority of next month, June. So hopefully, I will get to meet the lovely lass.
I was trying to set you up. Ask her what it was like to work on Carnosaur.
Carnosaur.
Some terrible...
First, I would actually have to want to watch the movie so I could hold a intelligent communication about it.
She has quite the gap in her filmography. She did Carnosaur in 93, and then Silent Night, Bloody Night 2, the revival in 2015. And now, Bloodsucker Jones 2 in 2016. She's coming back. This will be her comeback role. This is like her Pulp Fiction. Mm. She's John Travolta, and you guys are Pulp Fiction.
I'm okay with that.
I have a small cameo in the same scene.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
The kissing scene?
It is not, no. But... I'm just saying, that's going to get me a hell of a lot closer in terms of degrees of separation to Bill Murray.
Ooh.
I'll have 1 degree of separation.
There you go.
Yeah. I love it. All right, moving right along. Ivan Reitman knew the film would be a success when audience members at a screening at Columbia Studios both laughed and screamed when the first ghost made its appearance on screen.
Get her.
This one's actually interesting.
Get
so, I'm gonna pose this in the form of a question. How many cars did they use to bring Ecto-1 to life on screen? How many versions of Ecto-1 did they make? Not versions, but how many cars?
6.
1.
David got it correct.
God damn it.
There was only one, and it eventually ultimately died on them midway through shooting Ghostbusters 2. Doesn't say if they got it fixed or not. I assume they did. But, yeah, they didn't have multiples. Like, the Back of the Future DeLorean, they made, like, 6 different ones for different stunts and different scenes and that kind of thing for the making of Back to the Future. But, yeah, for Ghostbusters, they only had 1 Ecto-1.
Yeah, doesn't do anything fancy.
It doesn't. I mean, you see a couple helicopter shots of it driving around the city, and you see it tearing out of the fire station a couple times. But that's about it.
I almost said 2 because I thought maybe the rest of that shitbox at the beginning is a different car.
Well, because he's like, you know, I found the car, and it's the suspension work and shocks, brake pads, lining, steering box, transmission, rear end. How much? Only $4,800. $4,800 would buy you a fucking Mercedes in 1980-something. Jesus, tap dancing.
Okay, so in the original, in the original version of Ghostbusters, which member of the team did Janine the secretary have a little romance with?
Is it Egon?
It is Egon, but all the scenes
don't they have it in the? Isn't the romance?
Well,
in the
you
second
think
one?
It would be like Venkman though, because
the romance in the second one was her and Louis Tully.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and she's always hitting on him. She's always hitting on him, though.
Yeah, but he was hitting on her back, and all those scenes were cut. There was actually like a two-way romance
between who?
Janine and Egon.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, in the movie, he just kind of plays cold shoulder, where it's just like she wants to be with him, but he doesn't
right.
care. Yeah,
it's more fleshed. It was more fleshed out at one point in time in an earlier cut of the movie.
Yeah, she's like, "Do you have any hobbies? What about you? Do you got any hobbies?"
Yeah. I spice, collect spores, plants, spores, and fungus. I collect and catalog spores and fungus. The second one, we never had a toy. Not even a slinky. I had a slinky once. Straightened it. Let's see what happens when we take the puppy away.
Like it was with Bankman, he's like, and he calls, no. Any messages? No. Any customers? No, Dr. Bankman. It's a good job, huh?
Type something. We're paying for this.
And don't stare at me. I fucking love that. Sexual harassment. He's like, Janine, Sorry about that, but guys. it's like one of those take-backs.
Yeah.
It's like he meant it, but he's sorry that he meant it. That's too bad.
What 80s pop star sued Ray Parker Jr.?
Oh, Huey Lewis.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Why?
Lewis claimed that the song plagiarized his hit
"Like a New Drug."
Yeah. The matter was eventually settled out of court, but
they're pretty identical.
Apparently, some money changed hands.
I need a new drug. One that won't spill. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters? I don't get it. What's the same about them?
Like, well, the underlying track.
Oh.
It's a. Theirs goes da na 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 na. It was one of those deals.
Oh.
Plus, I think also originally wasn't Huey Lewis like commissioned to kind of create a theme song for it. They didn't end up liking it, and he ended up kind of using that as "I Want a New Drug," or like at least like some of the music, some of the just the melody of it, and then they went forward with it as well and got another dude to Ray Parker Jr. to do all the changes. I don't know. I don't know anything about music, but
I don't know how music works.
I can sing it horribly. I know that much. Dave,
to give an indication how big he was, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was originally meant to emerge from the Hudson River next to the Statue of Liberty. The plan was abandoned after it proved too difficult to shoot.
Ooh. They didn't have their NES Advantage controllers like in the sequel.
Bunch of quitters.
They were easy. It was way.
Ghostbusters 2, it's not that good.
It's got moments. It's an enjoyable film, but it's nowhere near, you know, the classic because it's the original.
I mean, honestly, Venkman's trying to get out of the Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. Like, he doesn't even want to be there. Yeah. He's already moved on.
He's trying to get back into Sigourney Weaver's pants. Mm-hmm. And he incorrectly predicted the end of the world was going to be Valentine's Day of 2016.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Shit happened.
What was the name of that show on that he had? It's like Supreme Beans or something like that.
It's something like that. Like at this tag at the end, it's like, "I'm Peter Venkman. Until next time."
Oh, he just thinks it, right?
He's like mentally telling you. So it's my favorite show. That and Bassmasters.
Bassmasters.
Yeah, the fishing show. I get it.
Oh my god.
Hey, me and the mayor are old friends. It's like, yeah, we didn't like it. We saved the city. We got stiffed on the bill.
The scene in which the Ghostbusters were jailed was filmed in an actual jail. Aykroyd claimed the building was haunted.
Hey, and our buddy Carl Weathers is fucking a cop in that movie, too.
Is he?
Yeah, he's the one that says, alright, he's like, Ghostbusters. He's the one that gets him out to go see the judge. Or not Carl, I'm sorry, I said Carl Weathers. But
Carl Winslow?
I meant Carl Winslow, yeah.
Okay. I was like, really?
Yeah, family matters.
Infinitely different guy.
Yeah, no, I know it was the name that I was thinking of, not the actor. I was it's Carl Winslow from fucking Family Matters. I had his face in my mind, but Carl Weathers is actually a real person, not the Winslow. What is the guy's name that plays Carl Winslow?
Something Avery.
He was in your Tron cartoon, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Was it this original Val
right.
Johnson or some shit?
There you go, that's him.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the name.
Don't wear it out.
Whatever happened to you?
I think you were thinking of Avery Brooks, who played Sisko in Deep Space Nine.
Probably.
Who was?
Avery Brooks.
I said Brooks.
Oh, okay.
Or you said Avery.
Randy was alluding to the fact that I was racist.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure that he's the cop that lets him out of their cell. It's like a jail guard, maybe?
Yeah.
And he's like, alright, the Ghostbusters. Time for the Ghostbusters.
Sounds like something. Yeah, he is in Ghostbusters.
All right, we are on our last fact.
Already?
Already.
So I'm
Three
sad
hours
now.
Later, here we are.
Yeah, Jailguard. He was credited as Reggie Vell Johnson. Ooh. Stage name.
Thought you guys just ate donuts. It's for my wife. Uh-huh. She's pregnant. Sure.
Bang Bring it. It up. I have bag it.
Number one!
With a bullet. It's like...
Sorry. When Justin loses and just starts laughing, it makes me laugh. All right.
I'm loopy.
So it's just
it.
Like,
this is your way
like
of saying we got to go back to Mondays.
It's infectious. Hey, pretty soon I'll be on my summer hours so we can go back to Mondays if you guys want.
Oh, yeah. I'm no good Sunday. It's killing me.
All right. Methyl xylose, a Chinese food starch, was used as slime in the drawers in the opening library scene.
It's not snot.
Some guy blows his nose and you want to keep it?
I got some. He was slime. That's great.
Save some
physical contact. He's an ugly little spud. I think he can hear you. Man, I love that fucking movie.
No human being would ever stack books this way.
It's my favorite line in the whole movie. Yes, Ray. No human being would stack books.
I like, listen, smell something? Yeah. This is a starch. You eat it? Or you put it on your clothes? What do you do with this Chinese starch?
Like you make like fried food with it?
It just says that it's a Chinese food starch.
They didn't have a we couldn't find an American food starch.
It's how you stiffen your food.
Man, remember toys used to come with slime back in the day. There's all kinds of slime toys. There's a slime pit for He-Man for crying out loud.
Now that I'm a parent, I am very grateful that that's not a thing anymore.
Mm. What about Play-Doh? Do your kids play with that shit?
I hate Play-Doh, so I've kind of discouraged my kids from playing with it because I dislike Play-Doh. But they have a couple like little things, and they'll play with it every so often. I don't like the smell of it.
I know, it smells gross.
Feel of it.
Yeah.
I did get this thing. It's called a Makey Makey, and it sounds totally made up. But and so...
Makey Makey!
You should... if you're ever bored, you should Google it. It's called the Makey Makey spell, just like you would think. And what it is, it's like this like circuit board. And so they have all these different ones. So we got like this game controller one. And it's like a circuit board that looks kind of like an NES controller. Mm-hmm. And then you take... you know, butterfly clips, you know, the metal, then the wire, then a metal other side. And you can hook it into things that will conduct electricity. And one of the things that conducts electricity is like Play-Doh and like fruit, you know, aluminum foil. And so you can like make your own controllers out of like these like inanimate objects. And so we did one out of Play-Doh to where we made like all the buttons out of Play-Doh and stuff like that. And then you push the Play-Doh instead of the actual controller. And it was kind of fun trying to play like Tetris and shit that way. But yeah. Play-Doh sucks.
It's not even spelled right.
No. Unless you're Homer. Don't!
No! I don't like any of that shit. Play school. S-K-O. Oh.
It's promoting illiteracy.
Exactly. Teaching kids bad habits.
Making kids fucking stupid.
I know. I'm one of those.
Fantastic list, Randy. Finally. Anything else you guys got? What else you got? Justin, you got anything?
Yeah, there's going to be a new Star Wars third-person action game. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah? What's it called?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. It's years away.
But it's not 1313?
But it's coming, no. Forget that game ever existed.
Yeah, they just released like all like the unused music for it. Mm. And it sounded kind of cool.
No one gives a shit. It sounds cool because you can't have it.
Yeah, probably.
That's the only reason.
And I was enjoying
this game's going to be so amazing. Because they can never play it.
I enjoyed listening to you guys talk about the Danish girl on the Pixelated podcast when you were talking about what's her name that was cast as Tomb Raider. And you guys were like, yeah, she was the Danish girl. And I'm like, no, the Danish girl was Eddie Redmayne. It was about a transgendered fella.
And so I was smiling. And I'm like, is she a Danish girl?
Yeah. And you're like, no,
she's like,
from...
I don't know. She's a woman or something. Oh, so stupid.
I was having a chuckle at it. I'm like, no, the Danish girl's a dude.
That's misleading.
Academy Award winner Eddie Redmayne. Soon to be Newt Scamander in Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Him.
So his roommate, knows that he's a wizard in that movie.
Who's roommate?
Newt Scamander. He like goes down a briefcase and then he like points like, "Hey, come down here with me."
Oh. You see that? I guess he probably knows then.
Is that allowed?
I don't know. I'm not terribly excited for this film. I'm sure it'll be fine, but...
You hate everything.
I love everything. You're the worst. I love everything. I know. That's my problem. Just when I dislike something, you really know I dislike that shit.
I'm like, you haven't said Rack Rider yet.
Nope. I was doing a whole podcast. I'm tired of getting these mean tweets.
It's okay. I'm gonna have Zack Snyder come over for your birthday next year.
Pop him out of a cake.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna give you a big, like it's gonna be like Bugs Bunny. He's gonna kiss you and humiliate you.
Yeah, or that's just your way of calling me out, like that. I'm a keyboard commando, and in real life, I would just kiss his ass and say how great he is.
If we ever had the chance to interview him, I would be happy to take your place, and then I would just say, "Now, Dave over there," and point on camera. And then Randy can cut to you really fast and then go right back to Zach. He says you're a hack and a real piece of shit and he hates all your movies.
But you have to wait until I had like a donut or something in my hand, so when he cuts to me, I'm like mid-bite, so I can't even defend myself.
He's like,
yeah.
I'm like, go to black. Like, look behind me like, I don't know who he's talking about.
Yeah, so why don't you beat him to death with all your Academy Awards?
Your myriad of awards that you've not gotten.
Oh, yeah.
Beat me with your Razzies. I'm sure you have many.
Ooh, probably.
Yeah. What about you, Randy? What else? What do you got to say? I'm sure you got something to say about BSJ2C3F421.
Well, everybody. Why aren't you at your post? Yeah. Anybody who hasn't already seen the trailer for the amazing Bloodsucker Jones versus the Creeping Death, which we were just talking about earlier, that's going to have Ghostbusters' very own Jennifer Runyon in it. Check it out. It is on YouTube. You can also check it out on Indiegogo. We're trying to raise money so we can finish shooting the back half of the film and actually have money to pay all these cameo actors. A lot of fun horror actors are going to be involved in this as well, because the first movie was so popular within the horror community. So please check it out. If you got a few extra dimes, throw them our direction. Also, if you are in the Illinois area, Nonstop to Comic-Con is going to be playing this Saturday at 12:15 at the Forest City Comic-Con in Rockford, Illinois. 12:15 this Saturday. If you go into the con, it's free to come, sit, check it out, watch it. I guarantee you will chuckle at least once.
If you're not dead inside.
Yeah. Or if you're dead inside, like I have been accused of being.
Every day.
Yeah, fuck off. You know?
Hey, signs of life. I was wrong.
Cool. Check it out.
Cool. Well, thanks for listening, guys. So, yeah, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Make sure you listen to the Comic Corner podcast with Jeff and Tyler. They're doing a special thing. They just did a special episode on Captain America. The Civil War. I'm sure they both loved it to death because their Facebook feeds were full of just nothing but Captain America and Iron Man ejaculate. So I think they both liked it. You got the Pixelated Podcast with Justin and Steven, who are absolutely killing it. They're making me laugh every day. I listen to it every single day. I listen to it, then put on repeat and listen to it again. And yeah, make sure you get to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. And yeah, talk to you guys later.